Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We definitely know that there is a word from the Lord. We're continuing on with our teaching, and we're going to be going into the book of Luke, the 10th chapter. Amen. Mm-hmm. But before we go there, let's go ahead and get into our morning announcements and a morning prayer. Prophetess, if you would.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We welcome you again. In the way of announcements this morning, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. Join myself for Prophetic Atmosphere every Thursday at 7 p.m. You can hear every broadcast we have live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is our website. We invite you there. Take some time to learn more about us. Even pray about becoming a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If any of you would like more information concerning us, any information concerning inviting us, myself and Apostle McQueen, to your programs or just prayer in general. As you are on our website, please go to our contact page, scroll down, follow those directions, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Do want to let you know that we also have a Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny. Please go to our Facebook page and like us there. For those of you who have been supporting us there, thank you. God bless you. And we are definitely praying for you. Let us know how this ministry, this broadcast, is blessing your life. We want to hear praise reports, and we definitely want to hear what God is doing in your life. Amen and amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. People of God, let us look to the Lord, prepare ourselves for the word, and let's get ready to receive what God has for us this morning. Amen? Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. God, we bless your holy name. We thank you for allowing us to see this brand new day surrounded by new mercies every morning. Father, even as we come, we immediately humble ourselves at the throne of grace. We just say, have your way. We ask for forgiveness for all sins, sins of omission and commission. We ask that you would just wash us in your blood, cleanse us for all of our unrighteousness, and then wash us in your word, God. Make us white as snow. As we come this morning, Lord, we have our hearts open to receive. God, we ask that you would begin to minister this word. Let the seeds of life go down deep in us so that we will no longer just be hearers, but we will become activated doers of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we prepare ourselves to hear what it is that you have to say unto us, anoint the man of God Give them the wisdom. Give them the knowledge. Give them the understanding from you to him. Let us hear what you have to say. Let us not hear the man, but let us hear you in the man. Now, God, we come with our hearts open. We come with our hands lifted. We come with our minds ready to receive. And I'm asking, Father, in Jesus' name, let this word begin to shift our minds. Let this word begin to change our mindset, Father. We, as our minds change, our hearts change, then our actions change. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you because you are God. There's none like you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. And amen. We're so grateful for the word of God. We're so grateful for the opportunity to minister the word of God. Amen. There are so many who have a desire to serve and to do for the Lord. For him to count us as those who are worthy to carry the gospel, amen, spread the gospel, it's a high honor that we do not take lightly. So we're grateful to the Lord for that. And we look forward to the time that we can come in and share with you the wisdom, the knowledge, the revelation in the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Today we want to continue on. We had started dealing with the fact that God has chosen us for an assignment. And you notice that this is a common theme for a lot of our broadcasts, because what we found and what we are finding out is that there are people out with so many different mindsets. They have so many different perceptions of the word of God and what their real assignment is. The Bible lets us know that there are those who rise up as wolves in sheep's clothing that lead many astray. And today we can testify that we are seeing a lot that are being led astray by those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. We know that they're wolves because their agenda is self-centered. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's a self-motivating thing. They want everybody to see them as the light instead of pointing to the true and the real light, which is Jesus Christ. So when we have the opportunity to minister the word of God, we must do so understanding the gravity, amen, of the assignment. Failure to do so means that others will come behind us and begin to minister a gospel of self-indulgence, amen, that will lead people into personal error, amen. The Bible is very clear on this, and we have to understand that the assignment takes care of itself, amen. Look at your neighbor and just say it with me. Say, the assignment takes care of itself.
Yeah, the assignment takes care of itself.
Oh, yes, it does. The assignment takes care of itself. I'll tell you that whenever God gives an assignment, he also gives the reward for our obedience with the assignment, amen.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to work, I don't have to worry about what the pay is going to be, because I already know what is negotiated as far as my fee is concerned. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It is what I will receive for doing what I was called to do. There are assignments that God has given us, and as we are receptive to what God has called us to do and obedient to it, then we'll receive what he has promised us. Amen. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all know that the blessings of the Lord are yea and amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That means that I don't have to worry about it. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. Amen.
Amen.
So what we have then is we have people who are going around proclaiming themselves to be something that they're not. Amen. Which is the first thing. And then the second part of that is that they're claiming for themselves rewards that they did not earn. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So when people come in to see who Christ is, what they actually see is men and women with titles that they put upon themselves in order to have a greater sounding authority because they can't demonstrate the authority of the kingdom in disobedience. Amen. So what they try to do is they come in trying to sound a certain way, and then when they come in sounding a certain way, people give them, based upon that perception, a certain degree of latitude. Amen. And let them go forward and do this or do that, and come this way or go that way, or do or don't do that. And it all sounds religious and good, but that's all it is. It's religious. Amen. Yeah. Because it doesn't have any revelation in it. If the word of God does not come to lead you into correct living, amen, mm-hmm. and into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, amen, mm-hmm. Bringing glory to the Father, then you in the wrong relationship. Amen? That's not the place that you need to be. And too many people are out there dealing with those type of situations now. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This sounds good. They've got their stuff together. You know, their homiletics is pristine and well-polished. They can hoop it out. They can talk it out. They can argue you down. About time they get done running 5-6 scriptures past you, you didn't catch but the first three, and the last two were just fluff because they didn't coincide with the first two. And because you were wowed by the way that they brought it, you stopped listening and just start thinking about the fact that they was running scriptures. Amen?
Mm.
But we got to get back to listening to what it said. Hear the word. Understand that God is trying to lead us to an understanding concerning the kingdom of God. It is our responsibility as those who bear the name of Jesus Christ, amen, in the earth, to demonstrate the power of the name of Jesus in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So as we're looking at this, we're looking at Jesus sending out his disciples. If we go back shortly, we'll see that in the ninth verse, amen, it costs. Amen, to simply follow him. Amen. And I think that there's some people who think that, you know, I'm just going to follow Christ, then, you know, give me my mansion and give me my stuff, and I'm waiting for my Mercedes, and, you know, everybody else in the parking lot pulled up in a Lexus and all of that, and I want mine. That's why I came to church, because I'm trying to get what's mine. Wait a minute, hold on. Before you jump out there to get your Lexus and the rest of that, before you try to get your Mercedes and your BMWs and all the rest of that so that you can look the part, why don't you get your heart right, amen? You find out that while you're getting your heart right, that God will make sure that when you get to the level or to the place where you can get a Mercedes or you can get a Lexus or you can get a BMW or you can get an Infiniti or something along those lines, that you'll actually be ready for it. It won't lead you away from Christ because you'll be so in love with them that the Lexus won't matter. The Mercedes won't matter. The BMW won't matter. Amen? See, we got this backwards. We're trying to get all this stuff in order to try to prove to people that we're saved and we got something from God. And God isn't trying to give you any of that stuff until you're ready for it, because he knows once you get it, then you'll be showing your flesh off greater than you are going after it. Amen? And this isn't for us to show our flesh off. This is for us to show the Spirit of God off. Amen?
Amen.
We're supposed to be leading people into a fuller knowledge of who he is. Amen?
Amen.
We can't lead them into a fuller knowledge of him if we don't have that knowledge ourselves. So before you put the cart before the horse, amen, trying to get all the stuff because somebody else got it around you, why don't you go ahead and work on maturing, amen? This is about development, amen?
Mm-hmm.
And it is in that context that these messages are not popular, because it tells you before you get, you need to change, amen? Don't tell me change. I don't feel like I have to change. Everybody else is wrong. I'm right. You know, I got it together. They just trying to get it like me. Ha, 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 ha. Wait a minute. This is not a rap concert, amen? This is not a... This is not you trying to figure out how to prove to people that you have arrived. This has nothing to do with any of those things. Amen? This has everything to do with kingdom development, kingdom expansion, kingdom assignments, amen. And when we keep saying kingdom, the kingdom is not you-dom, amen. This has nothing to do with you and what you're doing. You don't have a domain here, amen. This is the king's domain, amen. And because we serve the king, we have access to everything that the king has, amen.
Amen.
When you recognize that your access into a better lifestyle or quality of life is tied to your obedience to the king, amen, then you'll start serving the king and stop self-serving yourself, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's look at this. Let's read this, amen. When we look at the ninth chapter and the first verse, it says, then he called, Luke 9 and 1 says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power,
yeah,
amen, and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. I like the wording in Matthew, the first chapter, amen, Matthew 10, amen, and 1. Matthew 10 and 1 simply says this. It says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. Mm-hmm. And we have to get back to this spiritual warfare part of what our assignment is. Amen?
Amen.
I think we've been running from demons so long that we forgot that we ever had authority over them. Mm. You know, the media and life and other things have conditioned us to be scared, watching all these spooky movies and everything else. Every time something come around the corner and go boo, we jump in. Oh my God! Oh, ooh. Listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a deficiency in certain areas, then you can be scared out of your wits. You see that? That means your common sense thinking, huh? Your intelligence. You can be scared crazy. Or can I say it like this? You can be scared stupid. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to scare you so that you don't think about what authority and power you have. Because if you don't know who you are and what authority you have, then you'll never put his games to end. You see that? If he can keep you without thinking, then he can keep running his game. He can keep people bound. He can keep people sick. He can keep people under oppressive burdens, amen? But when you recognize and realize who you are, the first thing you do is you go out like Christ and you see them. And number two, you have compassion, huh? And then you seek to do what? Heal them all,
yeah.
Even as he did so, amen? Because there are some emotions, amen, you don't have a physical ailment in your body, but your mind is not right, amen? People have done things to you so emotionally you are damaged, amen? You are injured, huh? So some people are crippled in those areas. And our job is to go out and not just preach the gospel to you, but to preach a gospel that brings you to a place where you can be healed and made whole. Look at your neighbor and say, it is our duty.
It's our duty.
Huh? To help make people whole.
To help make people whole.
Now, what is it that we're doing to help make people whole? It's not that I have the power or the authority, is not that I have the capabilities within myself to do it, but through Christ, amen, and the power of Jesus Christ, power in his name, power in the blood of Jesus, amen, the power in my citizenship, and as a child of God, I can stand up and command, decree that the devil step back, loose his hold, and get people free, amen.
Amen.
So we're not walking around trying to figure this out. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We got it. Amen.
Hmm.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, know who you are.
Know who you are.
And walk in the knowledge of it.
And walk in the knowledge
of it. Oh, yeah, yeah. So when we look at this, we notice that he called them and he gave them power. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Over unclean spirits to cast them out. and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Amen?
Amen.
So when we see that, it tells me that sickness is in the body, but disease is in the mind. Amen?
Amen.
So when we look here at Luke 9:1, we see that he gave them power and authority. Amen?
Yes, yes.
And I think too often when we see that word power, we attribute it to one thing or the other. Amen? Mm-hmm. But here... In the book of Matthew, when it says power, it's talking about exousia, amen. Yes. And the word exousia or exousia, amen, depending on how you pronounce it where you are, amen, simply means authority. Here in Luke, he says he gave them power. That word power there in the Greek is dunamis, amen, and that is the explosive power. That means that when I use that, I have explosive power in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? Look at your neighbor and tell them you can make some stuff move.
You can make some stuff move.
Come on, say it again. You can make some stuff move.
You can make some stuff move.
Amen. And if you make some stuff move and you got some stuff going from left to right, amen, when the enemy's trying to make it go from right to left, amen, you can correct some things. Amen? See, this dunamis here is like dynamite. Some things are set in stone, amen, and the enemy has tried to concrete them in. And see, when you know that, then your job is to go loose it, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Huh? So if you're loosening it, you need something that's going to jar it loose or shake it loose, amen?
Right.
Look at your neighbor and say, is there anything in your life you need shaking?
Well...
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's some stuff that you need shaking in your life, amen. The enemy has tried to get you locked in there. There are generational strongholds in your life, amen, that come from generations of family of just doing this and doing that, and you came out and you begin to demonstrate it almost as if it is in your DNA. Look at your neighbor and say, you need some dunamis power there.
You need some dunamis power there.
Oh, yeah. We got to break that thing, huh? That stronghold has to be broken down, amen? Huh? So when we look at this, he said, look, I'm not just giving you the authority, but I'm also giving you the ability to break some things. You see that? Mm-hmm. Amen? So when we see that word power there, amen, look at this. Power, as it is said, is a powerful weapon. Amen? It is. Huh? And that powerful weapon is the authority we have. Exousia. Amen?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So exousia is an authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now, why did I say it like that? Because there are some things that are set that have to be broken, dunamis. But there are some things that the enemy's holding he has to let go of.
Hmm.
Exousia.
All right.
You see that?
All right.
So what happens then is that the enemy is trying to tell you, I don't have nothing to do with that. It's already set. That's where you need dunamis. Amen? Huh? Mm-hmm. Jesus, break every chain. You see that? Break. Look at your neighbor and say, it's the breaking.
It's the breaking.
Huh? It's the breaking power of the spirit. Wherever you are bound, wherever you are held into, whatever has gotten you, gotten hold of you that has sealed you in a certain mode, a certain model, a certain mindset. And let me say this right here while I'm speaking about that. We need sometimes to have a dunamis experience in our paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That means that my thinking has been like this so long that I need something to come and shake me until I stop thinking stinking. Amen. Huh? That stinking thinking that we do sometimes causes my thinking and everything around me to start to smell. My thinking is stinking up the room. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Stinking up my environment. So now I'm trying to get a breath of fresh air, and here comes your thought process. Mess up everything, amen? You're supposed to be decreeing and declaring the power of God and the promises of God, but all you can do is talk about what the enemy's done and how he's done it and how it's always been like this. And every time I try, then listen, you got to get some dunamis power in you, amen, and shake the very foundation of that lie right there. Because if God says that I can, I don't care what said you couldn't before. I don't care how many times you believe the lie. There's coming a day and a time, a moment that you're going to have to believe the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Not just believe it, but decree and declare it. Amen? Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, I have to start decreeing and declaring some things.
Oh, yeah.
You've been saying it the other way, but now you got to learn how to say it the way that God says it. And when you start doing that, then you start seeing that the word backs itself up. He gave us power and authority. Mm-hmm. Amen? Now, what good is giving us power and authority if it does nothing for us?
Right, that's good.
Huh? God did not give us something that was inert. Huh? It was there, but it has really no substance or properties to it. It's just a filler. Amen? You ever look at some of these ingredients? They'll say the active ingredient is this. And then it tells you all the other things that are in there that really don't have anything to do with that active ingredient.
Correct.
See, he didn't give us all that stuff that don't have nothing to do with the active ingredient. He gave us the active ingredient. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? And if God gave us the active ingredient, then we need to be able to turn around and take that and walk with it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Use it so that it does what it needs to do. Amen? That is, destroy the kingdom of the enemy. Amen?
Amen?
Huh? The gates of hell cannot stand against it. Guess what? If the gates of hell can't stand against it, why are they standing against you? Huh? Mm-hmm. Why are you allowing the gates of hell to stand in your presence? See, whenever I come up to something that is against God's law, against God's will, against God's purpose, I have the authority, amen, to challenge that. Not only challenge it, but to call it into accountability. And when I recognize and realize I have power and authority over it, it has to shut down. Amen. There's something that my wife, we've been going around and people been using this word instead of saying sit down, they've been saying sat down. Amen. That means that you should have been already and sat down. You know, get over there and sat down. You know, the thing is that there's some things that the enemy has been running around gallivanting in front of us. He's been parading it out there. He's daring you to use your authority. And we've been sitting there intimidated by it, not knowing that we have power, dunamis power, to knock his head off, and authority, as you see it, to tell him to sat out. Amen? So he's been walking around, and we've been sitting there talking about, oh, my goodness, somebody need to go over there and do something. No. You go over there and do something about that. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Let's read on, because I'm going to get into this right here. As I was reading down through this passage, it got to a point where they left and came back.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I want to, like I just said, you don't have, you're waiting on somebody else to do it, but you're going to have to learn how to do some of this yourself. One of the strengths in the body of Christ that we would have today if men and women in leadership would simply exercise it is to train the next generation to walk full of the power of God today.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But what we do is we go around and we keep people subservient to what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of immature saints around us who can't speak and rightly discern the word of God. Amen. You see that? So what happens is the enemy keeps tricking and running over them, and they keep running back to us. And I know in certain situations, as the baby saints, amen, as the babes in Christ are coming in and they're getting saved, we need to focus on nurturing them. But those of you who have been saved 5, 10, 15 years already, amen, you need to be the ones who are going out and helping to strengthen and teach in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen. Excuse me. Mm-hmm.
How the Bible says at the time that you should be teachers, you have need for someone to come and teach you again the first basic principles of the faith. Amen? Some of us, and I can't say some of us, amen, I have to say some people like being babes in Christ. Woo, let somebody else fast, because I can't do that yet. Well, discipline yourself. Ooh, I can't pray more than 20 minutes. I can't, no, 20 minutes is long for them. I can't pray more than 5 minutes. Okay, listen, discipline yourself to it. Anytime I start reading the Bible, I just wait for the preacher. Listen, if you don't get some of this word on the inside of you, see, you can't overcome the enemy by the blood and the word of your testimony if you don't know what your testimony is validating about the word of God. See, we got to get in there and learn this word. Jesus didn't, when he talked to the devil, amen, when he was being tempted, he used the word. Mm-hmm. He did not use his authority. He did not throw the devil off the pinnacle where he took him up to. You see that? He used the word. And you got to understand that the devil don't care nothing about what you trying to do, but he will respect the word of God. It is the, if you will, contract with which he is bound. Huh? It is his operating manual. He can't go outside the perimeters of that. So in there where it says that he gave you power and authority, you need to exercise that, because the devil and all his demons have to respond and respect that power and authority. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let's read down some, okay? Let's see. Luke 9 and 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure disease, and he had sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Amen? Mm-hmm. And this part right here, we're going to take apart on another broadcast, because we really got to get down to this pay to preach thing. Amen. And when I say pay to preach, I understand that this is how we make our living. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about you go off and you preach and then they turn around and give you love offering, you know, help you with your travel expenses and things like that. It's only right that they do those things. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about when they are going to pay your travel expenses and give you lodging and, you know, everything like that, which is right. They should be doing that. But when you come in and your entourage has to be taken care of, and you won't preach unless you got at least, you know, four figures of this, you need half up front and everything. And, you know, and when you show up, you need your other half before. And we have in our contract that we got these books and videos and DVDs, and we need to have a table out front. And all of this is in the contract. And none of this has to do with you preaching the gospel. Before you even preach a gospel, you've already set up a marketing, an advertising. You've already, okay, wait a minute, hold on. What happened to going out and doing the assignment and allowing God to make sure you're taken care of? You see that? Look here. It says, third verse, and he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff nor bag nor bread, no bread nor money. Do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Now, let me say something right here in this fourth verse. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. When you go to an area, don't be going over there and trying to preach 15 different area places while you're there. See, what we do is we go into an area and we try to get four or five churches. So I'm preaching revival here, mm-hmm, and go over there and preach their Sunday morning. Then I'm preaching Sunday afternoon there. Perfect. And then I'm come back here and I'm going to close out the revival on Sunday night. And, you know, that's going to bring a whole lot of people in so we can get bigger offerings. Okay, and what you're actually doing is you're marketing the gospel, amen? And it's, I understand spreading the gospel is one thing, but when you're doing it so that you can get a bigger cut, a bigger pot, a bigger pay, you're marketing the gospel, amen? See, and these words here that Jesus gave them was important. We see in Matthew, he said, he gives them assignment of what they need to do, amen, when they go out, huh? And what is that that they need to do when they go out, amen? Hmm. He tells them, let's look at this, 10 and 5. It says, and Jesus sent the 12 out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter into a city of the Samaritans. In other words, those people talking about, I'm going to the club, I'm going over here to these other bars and other places, so I can, wait a minute, hold on, you just want to go over there, amen? Stop telling people that somebody in there might need to be saved. They didn't go there to get saved. If they went to get saved, they would have came to the church, amen? See, you go over there and then you defame the gospel. The Bible talks about when we go out and defame the name of God. You got to understand, when you go out there and they begin to curse and revile his name, it's not because you was preaching the gospel. It's because you were out of place. Amen? Yeah. There's a day and a time where God has sent a man or woman of God to a specific place to go in and get someone who was going astray. And the Lord came with a warning and said, go down to the corner bar and tell Brother JoJo, if he don't leave here and come back to the household of faith, I'm going to take his life tonight. And that is an assignment. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, that is an assignment.
That is an assignment.
That means you don't go in there and sit down and hope that you can find Brother JoJo.
Right.
Huh? When you go down there, you're going to find him because that was the assignment. Your assignment is where he sent you.
Yeah.
Amen? So you don't go into the way of the Americans or the Samaritans or the Gentiles. But rather, sixth verse, go to the house, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen? And as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the assignment didn't change. Supposed to be preaching the kingdom. Amen?
Yeah.
And not your self-help, not the principles of the new book that you wrote that's out at the table with your big markup. Amen? You're supposed to be preaching the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Huh? And what is that? Heal the sick, eighth verse. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Okay? All that's supposed to be going on when you go out to preach the kingdom. Amen? Look what it says. Freely you have received, freely give. You yeah. see that? So when we get back to the real assignment, then we'll be going freely. And as everything is being taken care of, God will make sure you're taken care of. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Freely you have received, freely give. Freely give, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts nor bag for your journey nor two tunics nor sandals nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. Amen? So now when we go out and we're doing all of this and they pay for our lodging and our travel and then they give us, you know, they feed us while we're there and we go on and preach and everything and then they give us what they can give us an honorarium. God will make sure we're taken care of. You'll never go lacking. Amen? You see that? It says, because if a worker is worthy of his hire, then you don't have to go out and try to overproduce yourself, overmarket yourself. Because what you then do is you start changing the gospel to fit your marketing plan. You see that? And that's not what God called us to do. Amen? So look at what they did here in Luke 9 and 6. It says, so they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. In other words, when God gives you an assignment, the assignment will work. Look at your neighbor and say, the assignment will work.
The assignment will work.
Amen. God never gives you an assignment that you are unable to do. He doesn't set you up with assignment for failure. When God gives you an assignment, that assignment will work because God has already designed the surety of it. Amen? That's how we know when people are going out on their own and when God sends them. Amen? If you out on your own trying to get people to respond to you and respect you and see you in a certain light, you out there. When you go out because God sent you out there, God will make sure that it works. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, it will work.
It will work.
Amen. So they went out there and dealt with all of that. Let's drop down to the 10th verse. Amen. It says, and the apostles, notice here, and you really got to see this. Amen. First verse. Then he called his 12 disciples. You see that? Together. You see it? Huh? Mm-hmm. 10th verse. And the apostles. Mm-hmm. How do I know when you have went to the next level or when you have come up to the next level? It's when you have completed the assignment that you have been given. You earn the title, the respect, but also the office. You see that? Huh? Because people are talking about, I'm an apostle, but you can't complete an assignment. Every time God gives you something to do, you give him an excuse. You're not an apostle until you can graduate from discipleship. Amen, somebody. I didn't write it. It's here plain before you. Amen. It says, and the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Point number two, when you have gone out and been sent out, you don't come back with a chip on your shoulder waiting for people to see you. You come back with a testimony of how successful you were doing the assignment God gave you to do. Why do you do that? So other people can see and understand that when God gives them an assignment, they can go forward with surety that it will work for them. Then God gets the glory out of this action. You see, they didn't come back talking about what happened when I went out and spread my hands and lifted my hands and spoke, and the demons ran, and here come Andrew, yes, here I am. No, no, you didn't see that, amen? You saw them go out, huh, as disciples. You see them come back as apostles, but even when they came back as apostles, they came back submissive to the one that sent them. You see that? Huh? They told him all that they had done. You see that? Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethesda. Now, listen here, because some people missed it. You have finally went from disciple to apostle, and now you sitting down as if you have done something great. Simply all you've done was be obedient to what God gave you to do. Amen? That's what you've done. So now you have moved up. Let's see what happens after that. We get into this situation, if you will. 11th verse, but when the multitude knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus didn't change his message, and we don't have a right to change ours. Mm-hmm. Amen? And look what it says, and healed those who needed healing. You see that? So the assignment was demonstrated by the one who gave the assignment. Stop telling people to go out and do what you won't do. Trying to live a life where, you know, I'm trying to get them to a certain level. If you arrive there first, people will follow you to that destination. Amen? Amen, somebody. Huh? Now, this is the thing that I want you to get to, and we're going to read two more verses before we drop down. Amen? It says, when the day began to wear away, 12th verse, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country. And I think Prophetess has read this with me before. We've talked about this before. And lodge and get provisions. Amen? Mm-hmm. So the disciples are telling him now, send them away. You see this? Let them go into the towns, surrounding towns and country, and lodge and get provision. For we are in a deserted place. Now, let me just say something here. The problem that a lot of people have in ministry that we've noticed is that you have gone off and you have been obedient to the assignment of God. He's giving you the assignment to go out and preach the gospel and to do certain things. So you have done so. And after you have done so, you have matriculated into another level. Amen. You have matured into another level. Your training has brought you into another place. Amen. And now you are learning at a different level. Amen. Amen. And while you're doing that, now you come down to the place where you should be able to walk, you see this, in the knowledge of who you are based on what you've gone through to get there. Y'all see this?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? But what they say here shows that even though we have come through it and was obedient, we still have not had that paradigm shift in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Our thinking is still the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Because here, after all that they have done, amen, they say, look, send them away, huh? That they may go out and take care of themselves and get provisions and lodging. It says, for we are in a deserted place here. In other words, they're saying, I don't see nothing around us that can substantiate the move of God here. Send them somewhere else where they can get what they need. But look what Jesus said. He comes right against that thinking. Amen. And says something to them. He says, 13th verse, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. In other words, I'm trying to get you to stop thinking like you were before you met me. I'm trying to get you to stop thinking like everyone else around you or in your environment. You see this? When you sit there and you talk to your friends, your neighbors, your families about the things of God, your friends, your family, your neighbors will begin to tell you what can't happen in certain places. Amen?
Yep.
So you say, God is telling us that even in this place here, that we need to start the ministry, God is going to breathe upon it. It's going to take on life, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow really rapidly, if that's what God says. But it's always going to grow at the level where it can be maintained and sustained. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And people look at you and say, well, y'all ain't got but two people. Well, if you ain't got but two people, amen, do like two sticks. Rub them together so they produce heat and start a fire. Amen? Stop giving people the ability to talk you out of your God-given assignments. Amen, somebody. Huh? Look what happened when the 12 spies went out with Moses. They went out and 10 of them came back and talked about, you know, we can't go over there and take the land. There are giants over there. We ain't nothing but grasshoppers. I'm so glad they used that word, because we already know that when grasshoppers and locusts get hungry and they get they become a swarm, they will decimate whole green fields. There'll be nothing green left after they get done going through it. See, if we're nothing but grasshoppers, instead of you seeing the negative to it, you have to decree and declare the positive, that even if I am a grasshopper, we can still go through and have an impact on the land. Amen? You see that? So if my job was to go over and conquer the land and you see yourself as a grasshopper, obviously you're going to be able to decimate the land. You see that? Stop telling God about how much or what you can't do and start saying amen and moving towards the assignment, because every resource that you need is going to be there. The people are tied up in the land, in the wilderness, Pi-Hahiroth, amen. Here comes Pharaoh right after him, and as he's coming after him, they cry out to Moses. Moses said, Lord, and the Lord said, why are you crying out to me? What's in your hand? In other words, I've already provided you with the ability to take care of this problem. Now, exercise your authority. You see that? Huh? Jesus here says the same thing. They talk about, Lord, send them away. We don't have enough for them. And he said, you got more than enough. Amen. 13th verse. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. Huh? And when they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, unless we go buy food for all these people, for there are about 5,000 men, And he said to his disciples, in other words, you already have the ability to take care of this because you have something that can multiply. Look at your neighbor and say, a seed always multiplies.
A seed always multiplies.
Say it again, a seed always multiplies.
A seed always multiplies.
It is a principle in earth, and there's no place where you can show a seed that doesn't multiply except a seed that is not sown. Amen. If you don't sow a seed, you can't get the multiplicity of that seed. Amen, somebody. Yes. We need to see it. Amen. Mm-hmm. A seed will go in and begin to multiply and create the same of itself at a greater level. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. We deal with conception. Amen. We see an egg that seed come in, and when the seed and an egg gets together, we see a splitting of the cell. And from that point, the cells begin to split fast. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? They begin to multiply within themselves. Every time you have a seed will multiply itself. And we see the principle of it here. They already had the seed, but they didn't have the faith with the seed. You see that? So the seed is dormant because it can't be planted in faith.
All right.
I hope y'all catching this here. Amen. Because here we are, we're trying to tell God, well, Lord, you know, I want to do, but we ain't got for just a little bit. And he's saying, that's all I need. Huh? Get in. Oh, we got so many thousands, tens of thousands coming, 20,000, whatever it is. And he's like, that's too many. They get down to a certain number, that's still too many. They finally get down to the couple of hundred. He's like, okay, now I can use them. Y'all ain't going to get the glory out of this. And I just want to make sure that you don't, you know, because some of y'all up in here that's going to be a part of this, if it had been more, you would say, yeah, we just overwhelmed them. No, no, no. You're going to see the glory of the Lord, but I'm going to get the glory. Mm-hmm. Amen? And the same thing with some of these ministries and some of these things that God has given us to do, amen, you got to see it for what it is. And that is that you don't have to be much to have a great impact, amen?
Amen.
God will call you as a person to step out and speak one word, and that one word will change the lives of tens of a thousand, 100,000, a million or so, amen? It'll pick up, it'll become viral, amen, because the Lord will position you on a platform that those words will echo, amen? Someone will catch it and catch the wind and take off and go on and sprout plants other places, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting how a dandelion will have those little propeller things, or and you'll blow it, and all of those seeds will catch the wind. And each place where that seed lands becomes a new plant. But it came from one plant. You see that? Yep. When we catch what God is saying and what God is doing, then we'll go ahead and move and stop giving God excuses instead of obedience. Amen?
Amen.
So then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in a group, in groups of 50. Amen? So he told them what to do because obviously they had seed, but they didn't have faith. So you need more lessons. Look at your neighbor and say, you got seed.
You got seed.
But you don't have faith.
You ain't got no faith.
So now you need more lessons.
Now you need more lessons.
Huh? So when you get more lessons, what God is doing is God saying, look, I've already demonstrated the miracle. You walked out this miracle before. You've been doing this before. I've been showing you how I've been keeping you, sustaining you, and showing you how to go forward. But now your faith is weak here. You're still looking carnally at your situations instead of decreeing and declaring.
Yeah,
you're still looking at everything around you and trying to figure out how by your resources you can make it work. Amen. So your faith is not tied to your sight. Amen. And you forgot in the Bible it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Right. Amen. So if you're supposed to be walking by your faith, this is a faith walk. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a faith walk.
This is a faith walk.
If you're supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight, why does your sight have such great weight on your faith?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You need to learn how to see it as he sees it. So you need to go back into school and be trained a little bit more so that your faith comes up to a higher level. You see this? Okay. Jesus said, make them sit down in groups of 50. Amen. Huh? And they did so and made them all sit down. So here they are. They're still obedient. He said, make them sit down. And they did. They were obedient. Amen. Mm-hmm. 16th verse. Amen. Mm-hmm. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He blessed and broke them. Mm-hmm. Amen. Isn't this interesting that this is the same pattern that we see when we get to the Last Supper, blessing and breaking. Amen. Mm-hmm. And multiplying discipleships. Yeah. You see this? Yeah. Because I want you to see this here. Amen. You see it? It says that he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to his, what's that word? Disciples. Say it loud.
Disciples.
Say it loud.
Disciples.
So they went from being disciples and coming back as apostles.
Back to being disciples.
You need to be trained again. Lord help us. I love revelation in the word. Amen. To set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. You see that? Huh? So now here, and this is where our time comes to end. Amen. You see a progression of faith in, lack of faith, faith demonstrated again. You see that? Disciples sent out. Mm-hmm. Come back testimony that it worked. It works. Oh, my goodness, it works. Okay? Now, they come back. He said, okay, now you feed them. Ooh, we ain't got nothing. How are we going to do this? He said, you just missed it. You could have exercised the same faith to continue walking. Okay, go ahead and sit down. Have them sit down. Let me show you this again. Blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples because you're back in training.
Yep.
You see this? Mm-hmm. And don't take that as a totally negative thing. You should never get to the place where you have fully learned.
Right.
In other words, you don't get to the place where you just arrived. Everybody else needs to get to my level. Stop. Hold on. When you get to that level, you need to be looking down the road, looking up higher, seeing how far else you can go, what else you can learn, how else you can do this better. And people looking at you can see that you are still growing and they can continue to follow you. But when you get to a place where you already know it, then you become stagnant. And guess what? Everybody following you becomes stagnant too. Yeah. That means that I have to keep learning. I have to keep pushing myself. I have to be a life scholar, especially when it comes to the Word of God. Amen. Because I can't fully just know it all. Amen? There's times where you're going to come to your successes, and there's times where you're going to have to be it's going to have to be demonstrated before you how to expand and increase your faith. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, Lord, help us increase our faith.
Lord, help us to increase our faith.
Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you told us to teach and to preach on this right here. We're talking about authority, knowing your authority and the faith in God and our authority and faith. Amen. But our faith is tied to so deeply that we can't afford to miss these lessons. Help us to understand that as we are here and as we are believing in you, as we are going forward, that we have to put our full trust in you. Help us, Lord, open up our eyes, our minds, open up our hearts that we receive the lessons so that we don't keep going around the same lesson plan, but we build upon knowledge and build upon that knowledge and build upon the knowledge till we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, to a perfect man. Help us, Lord, to increase our faith in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, Lord, I pray for those who are not saved, Lord, that they will simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible-teaching, a Bible-believing church where they can be developed and matured. Lord, we pray for the growth of the ministry and the strengthening of the saints. We pray for healing right now. And for those who have asked for prayer, we pray for them now and hold them up before you. You know the request. We speak and we touch and agree with them by faith in the name of Jesus for fulfillment and glory of God being fulfilled in their lives. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We need your financial support to do so, and we pray that the Lord touch your heart so that you would do so with us and help us to do what needs to be done for kingdom expansion. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, wanting to remind you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. We love you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.
Amen.